The Soldier's Monument. The Soldier's Monument is one of the finest in the country. Graceful and well-balanced, it stands an ornament to the village and a tribute of love to the brave boys whose blood stained southern battlefields and whose names are graven on its surface. It is 46 feet in height of Dorchester sandstone and erected at a cost of upward of $12,000. America's symbol of eternal vigilance rests on the summit. Life-size figures with bowed heads, one leaning on its musket, the other resting on its sword, stands on either side, while the cross, the crown, the oak leaves twined keep fresh and green in the hearts of their countrymen the memory of our heroic dead. Water to supply the village is brought through pipes from the Luzerne Mountains, a distance of 5 miles. The works containing within themselves such a power that a half dozen streams can be thrown at one time from hydrants to the tops of the highest buildings, which state of affairs has reduced the 3 engine companies to a peace footing and rendered them more an ornament than a necessity. 2 miles above the village, the river is dammed by the state, and the water through the feeder supplies the summit level of the Champlain Canal, a part flowing north from this point and the rest south to the parent flood again. Private enterprise has also thrown a barrier across the river at the head of the falls, turning a part of it aside to drive great gangs of saws through the millions of logs that come floating down from the northern wilderness. Over this, the amber waters break in one broad sheet, extending from shore to shore. Pausing an instant on the brink, then churned into white fury in its fierce battle with the broken rocks, it plunges down the precipice, seething, boiling, foaming, thundering, leaping from rock to rock, turning back upon itself, its ceaseless roar sounding, and its spray rising high up against the rainbow-spanned walls. The rocks are blue and black and gray, with curious markings in which fossils of various forms and shells are found. Dividing near the head, its waters pass on either side of the island that is partially flooded in times of high water. Near the lower end, where the blue rock is notched and broken out, we climb down to the level of the water and enter the cave made memorable by Cooper in one of his wild Indian stories. We can pass entirely through the outer, but the entrance to the smaller one is stopped up by logs and driftwood. When the water is very low, you can pass around the lower end of the rock up to the south opening, where the face of the savage so startled Cora and revealed the hiding place to their enemies. Here Uncas, the last of the Mohegans, watched while the sisters slept and the shores on either side teemed with their savage foes. Now, ragged urchins, fully and more than posted in the wild legends of the place, point out the tiger and serpent in the dark rock, and the very identical tree from which the Mingo fell when spoken to by the unerring rifle of Le Long Carbine. There have been several of these identical trees, and they are getting pretty well used up. But the boys are bound to perpetuate the thing if it takes all the trees in the country. And the story is rapidly growing to be a matter of history. The listener, shuddering with horror as he pictures to himself the clinging savage and the wild, blood-curdling yell that went up as, clawing wildly the empty air, he fell, and the dark waters closed over him.